I request all the participants to please mute their mic. The results are available on the InfoBeans website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder and CFO, Mr. Siddharth Sethi, co-founder and managing director. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow up with a Q&A session. Any question in the chat box after the brief overview of Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With the said note, I turn over the call to Avinash Sethi. Over to Avinash.
Thank you, Sulbi. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call. Let's start. Go to the next slide, please. So, for the sake of new participants, InfoBeans is a digital transformation and product engineering company. We create innovative software solutions for our customers to solve their complex business problems. We are present across the globe in places like US, Europe, Middle East, and India. Next, please. This is a quick glance of InfoBeans. We are a company founded in 2000, 22 years in the making, 75 active clients. So far, we have a 200 client list as of now, but 75 are active of those. About 1,400 people team now, 10 of active Fortune 500 clients. So we have a list of 17 odd clients, but 10 are active as of today. Financials of last year, we did 196 crores in FY21. PAT, reserves, cash reserves are pretty good. And then we've been growing at 43% CAGR year on year. Several awards to our, received several partnerships and awards that we have received in the past. We are particularly proud of Great Place to Work, Asia's Best Employer, and Dream Companies to Work for Awards. Next, please. Quick timeline from 2000 to 2021. In the process, we went public in 2017, and then migrated to NSE main board in 2019. At the same year, we acquired a company called Philosophy in the US. And then in 21, we did our first buyback and also acquired a company called Internet Solution, which is a Pune-based Salesforce platinum consulting partner. Next, please. These are some of the esteemed clients, which are marquee names, Facebook, Viatech, IQVIA, Ola, Inmobi, some of the Indian companies as well. And then a couple of them, which are Fortune 500 companies are in the NDA. I can't disclose the names here. But these are the customers who are trusting us for offering them the business solutions for their regular business needs. Next, please. Board of directors at InfoBeans, the three founders on the top, and Mr. Santosh Mutchal, Mr. Sumer Bahadur Singh, and Mrs. Shilpa Sabu as independent directors. This is particularly I'm very proud of. I'm very happy and very blessed that we have a very experienced core team, and they've been with InfoBeans for a very, very long time. Now is the next set of founders from Eternus and Philosophy, who are also part of our core team. They've been helping with the strategic direction of the company and executing those vision statement that we make together. Next, please. Key indicators that we've been growing in last 4 or 5 years, a CAGR of 23%, EBITDA margins in the range of 22-25%. PAT margins have been significantly jumped up from in FY21. CAGR of 35% on the network side, dividend payout has been healthy last year. So, next please. Financial performance for this fiscal, this quarter, we did an operating revenue of 71.6 crores, that's compared to 44.2 crores in the same quarter last year, 62% growth year on year, and 26% growth quarter on quarter. Same goes with other parameters. We've been growing happily, healthily. EBITDA has grown 22% year on year and 40% quarter on quarter. Same goes with PAT, 18% on year on year and 45% quarter on quarter. So we are doing a PAT of 17 crores this year as compared to almost 12 crores last quarter. This is a decent comparative between Q on Q and Y on Y. If you look at the revenue numbers, it's 74 crores, which is the total revenue, 40% up year on year and 14% up quarter on quarter. PAT is 18% up quarter year on year and 45% up quarter on quarter. Whereas another important number is the QOQ quarter on quarter revenue growth in USD term is 27%. Next, please. This is an interesting data point. If you remember the first slide, we talked about revenue for fiscal 21 as 196 crores. We touched almost that number in the first 9 months of this year. So pretty solid growth here. And other numbers are also in line. EBITDA is also growing well and PAT is also growing well. So here are the comparatives for the year ended March 21, as well as QOQ and YOY actual numbers. 71 crores in revenue from operations, total revenue 74, as compared to 44 and 53 corresponding numbers of December 2020. Similarly, if you look at EBITDA, it is 23 crores versus 19 crores in December 20, and PAT 17 versus 14. So PAT margin has dropped slightly from 27 to 23. But as I keep telling that, we have a good margin at this point in time, but with the increasing cost structure right now, we'll probably come down on those numbers. Next, please. So, some of the investors were seeking a breakup by geography, by business, and by segment. This time we tried to, bring those data points to you. If you look at the revenue by geography, it is 77% comes from US. There's a significant portion that has come up because of India. And let me tell you, we have been working with Indian customers very recently. And the three prominent names that I can recall, which is Byju's, and then Ola, and then InMobi, these are all three of them. Each one of them is a unicorn, and they are growing very, very rapidly. So India business was insignificant in the previous year, but in this quarter, this has jumped up very, very quickly to a high number. And also looking at subsidiaries, Eternas and PGI, they are also contributing to the business decently well. One thing to note here is Eternas only December month is counted here. It will, for all 3 months, it will be in the March quarter where we have all 3 months of Eternas coming to us, because our acquisition happened on 30th of November. So the consolidation number will only include December as a month for this quarter. Similarly, by segment, we have seen a significant jump in digital transformation business. So, earlier it used to be 60-40 kind of a, or 55-45 kind of a ratio. Now this has jumped to 73% versus 27% in product engineering. So quite a change here. Next, please. So these are the growth strategies that we've been following year after year. And thankfully, it is yielding results for us. Building capabilities and the new technologies, building the growth, building the team organically, investing in our people, investing in the right kind of clients and building relationships there. All of those are helping, plus the inorganic growth through acquisitions. We've done two acquisitions so far, which is also building up the momentum very, very well. This is our typical IR slide, where we've been telling that we'll be growing. We're doubling ourselves every 3 years. We certainly want to fast pace that further from here. And if you look at the CAGR for the last 5 years, these are all healthy numbers in 36% range. So quite another important data point here is we have a decent pipeline which is visible for the next 12 months of over $30 million. That's pretty much it on the important data points here. Some of the key updates, one of the Fortune 500 clients, Waste Management, was recently signed in this quarter. There are multiple unicorns in our data in our portfolio from India, which is interesting. Integration with Eternus is going on. Philosophy is going to, is actually merged from January 1. So it will not be showing as a separate business anymore from next quarter. Investment continues in people and practice. And another important update, which is not for the last quarter, but we have onboarded 60 more fresh graduates in January 2022. This is the market data as of 31st of December. Next, please. If you go to the last slide, please. So I just wanted to highlight the pie of promoters. The promoters are not diluting their shares. It is the ESOPs which is causing the dilution for everybody, including the promoters. So just wanted to highlight that fact. Next, please. Yeah, that's it. So thank you very much. We are open for question and answers. I have Siddharth also with me. So we'll be happy to answer your questions. Please feel free to put it out and then maybe Diwakar can coordinate the sequence of questions.
Thank you.
Diwakar or Asha, whoever wants to take it.
Thanks, Avinash. We'll start the Q&A session now. Participants, please raise your hands, whoever is having questions. First question is from Hetal Sonpal. Hetal, I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi guys. Congratulations on a great quarter.
Hi, sir.
Hey, man. How are you? So my question was with regard to the contribution of the acquired companies. Seemed significant. I think it was 24 in the quarter out of the 72 crores.
Yeah.
Does that
about,
mean?
About 33%. Yeah.
Correct. So, organically, are you also beating last year numbers? If you're not supposed to consider these numbers?
Definitely, yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've been growing organically as well at a fast pace. I don't know if I have a number here because InfoBeans itself. So, see, one of the ways to look at it is InfoBeans and PGI are together for quite some time.
Right.
For us, the inorganic contribution is only 8% right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that number is about 6 crores.
Right.
If I remove 6 crores out of 74, I'm still at 68.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, I did 64, which is including 8 crores of other income.
You're including philosophy as well when you're...
Philosophy is organic now, right?
Oh, it's organic already. Okay.
Because we acquired it in 2019.
Okay.
So it is organic. So inorganic component in this slide is only 6 crores.
Right. The second point was with regard to the breakup between digital transformation and product engineering. My experience tells me product engineering is more niche, but low margins. Is that true?
I would say, it is actually two ways. We have some clients where there's a low margin and then we have clients where there are good margins. So it depends on, when we signed up the deal. If it was signed up at early, let's say four or 5 years ago, the margins will have been lesser because the rate revisions cannot happen so frequently. But okay. If it signed up last year or, in the last 24 months, their margins would have been better. So it's average value, I would say.
the growth in digital transformation is because of the acquired companies' contribution coming in, which would mean basically you're not losing clients in product engineering, but digital transformation is where the company is growing.
We're not losing any client. It is the growth that is happening on all sides, organic and inorganic.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you,
Hetu. Next question comes from the line of Varun Agarwal. Varun, please go ahead. I have unmuted your line.
Hello. Hi, Avinash. Hi,
Siddharth.
Hi, Varun.
Congratulations on the great set of numbers.
Thank you.
I just want you to know what are the areas in which we are looking for new acquisitions?
I think the acquisition strategy has been well defined and we're still on that path. So I keep sharing that you know, there's an aspiration for Infobeans. The aspiration is that we want to work on cloud side of it, which is using ready platforms like ServiceNow or Salesforce.
Right.
And UiPath. So these are the three areas where we are looking for actively looking for these companies. We are also looking for user experience as a specialized skill set, and we want to enhance our capabilities in those. So these are the aspirational areas that Infobeans is very clear and very focused on. We are also very clear that we don't want to go into things like product companies or SaaS companies or e-commerce companies or digital marketing companies or infrastructure play. We don't want to do that. So I think one more area which I forgot was automation. So we are happy to go into RP kind of companies, which is UiPath related companies. So that way we have a very clear focus areas, and that's where if you been following your journey, it takes our time to figure out the right candidate and take the plunge. So we've been very choosy about where we want to go.
So anything in blockchain?
Just to add to that, anything that would help us traverse this product engineering and digital transformation journey better, that would be a good fit as a very general thumb rule. Within that, Avinash has mentioned so many other things, but all of those things help us do our existing services around product engineering and digital transformation better. Maybe a new generation of technologies, maybe a expanded scope of technologies, and so on. So this is the overall rationale, very high level rationale.
Is blockchain included in that?
Yes, blockchain is definitely included.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Thank you so much and wish you the best for the coming quarter.
Thank you to you as well.
Thanks, Varun. Next question comes from the line of Nirav. Nirav, I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One is that in the organic piece, you've seen very strong growth. So if you could just guide us, explain to us in terms of what has driven this sharp revenue increase, because over the last couple of quarters you've grown at about, in dollar terms, about 9%, 8%, so anywhere between 7.5% to 9% quarter on quarter. And this quarter, if I were to exclude the Eternus acquisition, you've grown at about 14-15%. So what would have driven this sharp revenue increase? And second question is regarding this new client that you've added on the waste management side. If you could just explain to us in terms of what would be the profile of work that you would be doing with them. Thank you.
Sure, Nirav, thank you for coming on the call. I think the margin is, the growth in revenue is primarily a factor of the demand and our ability to fulfill that demand. So, one such example is we signed up with Byju's, and within 3 months, we have, increased the team size very, very rapidly to take it to $1 million+ run rate. So we have been able to go aggressive, and I think I mentioned in a couple of last calls that we are willing to take this talent crunch battle aggressively and not really worry about margins, but worry about the top line. So that strategy is playing out where we are able to grow organically. Plus, I think the other fact is also that the utilization levels have also increased for the business. So that is helping us. Siddharth, you want to take the other question?
So waste management, regarding waste management. So waste management, we are building digital products for their internal consumption. So waste management, if you know, is a very big organization, Fortune 500, and present in, I think, more than 160, 70 countries in India as well. So we are trying to help them with their digital transformation products, especially using .NET and some other technologies.
Right, and just on the previous question, if we were to bifurcate the growth in the quarter between the top 10 clients and others, so what would be that split? And going ahead, if you could, share that number, share the split, it would be great. And sorry, one more question in terms of what would be the headcount for the company at the end of the quarter?
So we are close to 49 people now, including Eternus. We have added, again, including Eternus, we have added more than 300 people in the last quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. So on the split between top 10, I don't have the data right now, but all I can say is every other client is clamoring for people where they need a lot of work to be done. So demand is pretty high everywhere, including new clients, existing clients. And usually, obviously this quarter might be different, but usually we generate 90% business from the existing customers. So, point is taken. We'll note it down and we'll try to give some breakup in future between new and existing clients.
And just one more, you said that you'd be adding freshers in the fourth quarter. Any number in terms of what would be your net hiring in the quarter?
So in last, okay, I'll tell you. So net hiring is going to be close to 100 plus between 0 to 1 year or maybe 18 months kind of a window. So this graduates, fresh graduates are 60. And we are going to add another 40 people between, around 1 year kind of experience. So we are hiring in that band so that the bottom of the pyramid can be supported.
Got that.
And for the year, we targeted more than 200 people.
Correct. Great, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks. I'll get back.
Thank you, Nirav.
Thanks, Nirav. Request to the participants, please limit to their questions so that two per person so that management can answer all of the questions. And second announcement I would like to make is in the chat box, whatever questions are coming, we will be taking in the last in case if time permits. So next question comes from the line of B.A. Sharma. Please go ahead, sir. I have unmuted your line. Sir, you need to unmute your line.
Hello, Arminash ji. Congratulations for an excellent results.
Thank you, sir. You've been missing for last few quarters. Where are you?
Yes. a couple of questions were there, but one or two are already answered. So I will limit myself to only two questions now. We have a treasury of 129 CR as of December. And I would like to understand what is the pending acquisition cost to be paid, assuming all the milestones are achieved. That's number one. Number two, what is the taxation implications on the profit, both at the standalone level and on the consolidated level? If you can briefly explain that.
Okay, so taxation of what? Taxation of...
Taxation of income tax, I mean corporate tax, the profits generated by Indian companies and the profit generated by the overseas companies.
Okay,
so consolidated balance sheet, the P&L that you are showing tax.
Sure. So I think we did mention during Eternus acquisition that the total cost is going to be 130 crores plus 20 crores is incentive. So out of that, we have paid 65 crores already. And remaining is to be paid over 3.5 years. The 129 crore balance that you see in the cash and cash equivalents includes account receivables as well. And the taxation part that you talked about, we are evaluating that right now. Eternus is 100% taxation bracket company. Infobeans still has a window where the Eternus will have to pay taxes, which is all the biggest slab that applies to the corporates. So there would be some tax implication there, but the margins are more than enough to cover for that kind of a extra cost.
No, in the P&L that is published, the taxation comes to hardly 9.5% or 10% of the pre-tax. So how is that calculated? On what basis? That was my question.
No, so that is because of the MAT entitlements that we have, or the advanced tax that we paid probably in the previous quarter, all of those adjustments.
Okay.
So we are a MAT, we're still a MAT paying company.
Okay.
And I think for the next 3-4 years, we'll still be a MAT paying company.
So we are in SEZ.
Yeah,
you are in SEZ. Yeah, that's right.
So we have a new SEZ also in Chennai, comparatively new SEZ, started last year. And currently also our Indore SEZ, we still enjoy some tax benefits.
So what part of Indian profit is going to be tax exempt?
Nothing is tax exempt. I think we still have to pay MAT.
Yeah. So what so happens is, So I'll tell you what happens is we have a SEZ operation and we have a non-SEZ operation. The SEZ operation is significantly large to still let us fall into a bracket where we have to account for MAT as a taxation. So that is where I think for next 3-4 years we are fairly covered. So I would say 25 we are fairly covered. 2025.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Avinashji, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma. Next question comes from the line of Suresh. Suresh, please go ahead. I have unmuted your line. Suresh, you need to unmute yourself. Suresh, you need to unmute yourself from your side. I think there is some issue. We'll go to next participants. Next question comes from the line of Archit. Archit, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Avinash. Hi, Siddharth. A few things from my side. Yeah. Firstly, on the margin. So, wanted to understand what led to the margin improvement this quarter, given that the industry is facing supply constraints. And with that, if you can also answer, what are the sustainable margins that the company is looking at? I guess in the last call, you did mention a number of around 24%. So that's the first question.
Yeah, I'll stick to that 24% target. Obviously not a target. Anything more is better. I think margins improvement has happened from two fronts. One is philosophy has been doing well. Infobeans itself is doing well because of the increased demand. And I think all the businesses, even Eternus, is doing well. So with this, all everywhere the margins are showing well because of the utilization levels increased, as well as the rate revisions that are also showing up in some cases. Not all, but in some cases. So I think it is a cumulative effect that increase in revenue, utilization rates, revised pricing, all of those are showing up. But I'm still not very confident that this will be going to sustain for long. 25% is where we feel is a steady state that we are comfortable with.
Understood. Thanks, Avinash. Second question is, like, there was a mention, I think, in the last PPT that the company wants to double in every 2 years. So, I mean, is that target intact? And what is the company doing differently, which is going to lead to that kind of a growth? Maybe if you can also talk about what is the sales strategy? Are you expanding the sales team or maybe acquiring new clients, which will lead to that kind of a growth? Thank you.
So it is a combination of two things, Archit. We are growing organically. We are investing in our organic growth at various fronts. I think there's a slide that I talk about growth strategies. We've been actively pursuing that. We went public in 2017. And in that, the first quarter, or in the RHP also, we talked about these growth strategies. We've been following those strategies and we are seeing the results. Secondly, we have an active strategy where to go inorganic also. So combination of both of these will work, and it has actually worked in the last 4 or 5 years. And we want to continue to repeat what is working for us. So if you look at it, organically, we attempt to grow at around 20% year on year. Inorganically, we attempt to grow at around 25-30% year on year. That is the ideal scenario. And if you look at the past numbers, we've been doubling ourselves every 3 years for almost 10 years now. So this combination is working so far for us.
That's helpful, Avinash. And the last thing from my side, so it seems that the client concentration is a bit on a higher side. So wanted to understand how strategic is InfoBeans to these clients, and do you see a further scope of wallet share gain with these clients, the existing top 10 clients, I mean?
Yeah, this is Siddharth. Yes, absolutely. We are extremely critical to many of these top 10 clients, even Fortune clients. Let me say with utmost humility that if we stop working for some of them, then some of their business lines might get affected. We are that critical. For the unicorns also, we are very critical. We are helping them as a strategic partner. For the logistics company that we're working with, we are very critical. We cannot be replaced easily in any of these clients. And in fact, our strategy is to start off small, but then when we enter a client, we make sure that we become critical to them. To the extent that we have internal champions, that if InfoBeans is doing this job, then nobody else should touch it. And this is not a phenomenon only over the past 1 or 2 years, but this has been the case for the past 15 years of our journey, wherein we make a very conscious strategic effort to enter the heart of any client that we work with. Having said that, we still have tremendous opportunities to grow in many of these clients that we have, because we choose our clients in such a manner where the wallet share is something that we can grab. First of all, the wallet itself has to be large. And second, the wallet share is something that we should be able to target and grab over a period of 1 to 2 years. So lately, what we have been seeing is some of the work that we are doing, we are able to get to the $1 million mark, the $1 million run rate in a few months or a couple of quarters at the most, which 2 or 3 years ago was maybe 1 or 2 years. So we have reduced that cycle as well.
Thanks, Siddharth and Avinash, for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Arjit. Have a good day.
Thanks Arjit. Request to the participants, please limit their questions to 2 per person. If time permits, we can take the follow-up questions. Next question comes from the line of Suresh. Please, Suresh, please go ahead. Suresh, you need to unmute from yourself, from your end side.
If it's not happening, maybe you can write it in the chat and then we'll just answer from the chat.
Yeah. Suresh, it is not happening. We are not able to hear you. We'll go to the next participant from the line of Ankit Gautam. Ankit, please go ahead. Ankit, please unmute your line.
Hello.
Yeah, you're audible.
Hi. 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 Thank you so much. I'm 22 year old. I'm 22 years old, and I've been your shareholder for the past 2 years, and you have benefited me a lot. And this was my first share, which I've researched and bought. So thank you so much, and congratulations to all to growing your business this wonderfully.
Glad to know that, Ankit.
Glad to know that.
Thank you. I just wanted to know what's the attrition rate in this quarter, because this industry is facing much issue in this side. And in your slide, you said that you are investing a lot on each of your fresh employees and hirings in training a lot. So what's your spend on that, and what's your loss on attrition rate if many people are going away? And what's your target to maintain that attrition rate?
Yeah, you want to take that?
So the attrition rate, we have to look at it. And first of all, it's a very good question. The industry is facing it. But how are we tackling it? That is what the differentiator is going to be. If you go to one of those slides where we have key team members, if you just take a closer look there, when are we worried? We are worried when some of these highly experienced core team members think about leaving. But if you see here, people are with us for 14 years, 15 years, 13 years, 11, 12, 18, and more than that. This is only 6 that are being shown here, but 10 plus is actually even much more than this. I think it goes up to 200, 250 people who have been with us for so long, and they are rock solid in the organization. So the attrition level there is zero, not close to zero, it is actually zero. That is something that we're extremely proud of. We are facing a little bit of attrition at the bottom of the pyramid, or people who have joined in the last 2 years, where they have not experienced the culture of the organization because the offices are practically closed and there is very less person-to-person interaction. And that is where there is some sort of attrition, but we are working very hard to ensure that that attrition also is under control. And we are replenishing and training our resources very, very actively. So this is something that, of course, is an area, I wouldn't say of concern, but an area where we never want to lose good people. But people who do not have affinity with the organization, do not understand the culture well, have not spent a lot of time, 6 months or a year, and if they want to leave for a better job, I mean, better paycheck, actually, I wouldn't say better job, but a better paycheck, that is where I would not worry too much. If they have to leave for a better paycheck, if they get a 30% jump just after 6 months working here, there's not much that we can do there.
To add to that, we have over 300 people who have completed 5 years with us. That's a significant strength that we carry. I think we're building on top of it. And the attrition rate has increased, definitely. So I mentioned last time also, we are at 25%, which is pretty high. But that continues, it is there for everybody. So we are building the bottom of the pyramid, right from fresh graduates from the college versus, hiring, 1 year experienced people, and then grooming them into the new technologies that we need them for. So plus there's a lot of learning and development for the existing team who are into, let's say, legacy. We are growing them into new ones and spending on their training and all of those. Awesome. So there's a significant investment that we are making. I wouldn't have the number on top of my mind, but it is, will be definitely, over, I would say, around 8 to 10 crores that we're spending only on training, bench, these fresh graduates and learning and everything.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just wanted to add two more questions. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. How far we? What do you think? Happiest mind? Are we same like happiest mind? So in future, do you think we can get a P like happiest mind, and we can be valued like happiest minds? Second thing, I just wanted to know that we have cash of 120 crores after acquisitions, and how many acquisitions we are looking for in next financial year?
We are happier than the happiest.
So we have cash in the bank, and we are looking for acquisitions. There is no way I can tell you how many, if any at all. We are making our attempts. If it happens, we continue to make our attempts. So there is no way I can tell you whether I'm going to do one or two or three, or maybe zero. I don't know.
No, no issues. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ankit. Next question comes from the line of Arthriya. I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the results. So my first question is on your capital allocation strategy. I just want to know, are there any metrics you look at when acquiring a target? Maybe like an IRR or a margin target, or do you just look at filling up, increasing your value proposition? Also relating to this, the capital allocation, you said in the past that you're not averse to raising money. So would you be, if there is an acquisition in the future and you need to raise money, would you raise debt or would you, dilute the shares? That would be my first question.
Speculative, we don't know.
So, it is dependent on so many factors. We are willing to acquire companies. What we look at is the capabilities that they are bringing to the table. IRR is probably the last thing in the mind as to when, because numbers can change dramatically. And we've seen it quarter on quarter, we've seen it in the business so many times. That so we believe that if the team is good and the capabilities that they're offering is good, they are profitable, whether they are 10% or 30%, it is variable. What we are looking at is the quality of the team and the capabilities, and whether it is fitting in our vision or not. So that is our focus. On the acquisition side, we are not averse to take debt, but only a very small amount of debt. Secondly, if the deal is attractive, the size is, warranting more capital to be raised, we'll be doing that. So it is all subjective. It is hypothetical at this point in time. I can tell you that we are open to do multiple combinations of debt or fundraise or whatever.
All right. Thank you. So I just had another question. So I noticed that the other expenses has actually reduced in the current quarter compared to the previous one. So can you just elaborate on that, please?
So a couple of things. I think the other expenses was a combination of spend that was done on performance bonus as well, which was a significant component. The other thing was if I look at the, you don't have a bit of paper, but on the balance sheet, on the P&L statement is there. So one other thing probably is there was a bad debt performance bonus is, I think, is a major component that will contribute more than 2 crores, 2.5 crores of difference between these two expenses and between these two quarters.
All right. And also, I noticed in the last year's balance sheet and the P&L, there was around 10 crores of impairment in the intangible assets. May I know the reason for that also?
So this is a tranche that we need to pay towards philosophy as a last tranche, which is due in January now. So it was based on their targets. Their fiscal ends in December 21. So therefore, this was a intangible asset that we're not asset, I would say, it is a liability that you have to pay off as this last tranche payment that towards the asset.
All right, thank you so much. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh. Please go ahead. I have unmuted your line.
Thanks, Asha. Congratulations, Siddharth and Avinash. Great set of numbers. Just first question is just on this P&L slide that you have. You're saying total expenditure including tax and OCI. So I thought the tax will be below EBITDA, right? So am I missing something or just the labeling is incorrect here?
That's a labeling issue.
Yeah, I think it is a labeling issue.
Sorry
it is,
about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is the total expenditure including all of that.
Okay, and just a suggestion on this slide, it'll be helpful if you not include other income in your EBITDA calculation. Because if you think about it, right, your December 22 EBITDA percentage was much lower compared to this quarter if you take out other income and then calculate it. So just a suggestion, if you can start, you know, not putting other income as part of EBITDA. Now on to my questions. You know, number one is, given the growth we are seeing, do you have a sense how much it's coming from volume versus pricing? And I'm just wondering, if you don't have that data, you know, are you able to get price hikes with your clients? So that'll be helpful to know.
Yeah, we're able to get price hikes from the clients. Our new rates, wherever we go to a new client, are much higher than what we were charging, let's say, even 6 months ago. So volume and pricing, I think both are going hand in hand right now. So we have some pricing power and we are getting work in significant volume. So our strategy, as I said earlier, has been that we have to go to the heart of the patient and not stay on the fringes. And that is something that we've been able to do. And that has allowed us also to retain business, and increase our rates.
Okay. And if I were to compare year over year, what has been the growth in the philosophy business?
So philosophy is doing very well now. I think the numbers I wouldn't have handy, but they year on year comparison, if I do, they would probably have grown at, I would say, 30-40%, because 2020 was a washout year for them. And that is where I think there's a slight technical debate that I wanted to, or maybe for the interest of the participant here, I just wanted to highlight that fact. That if you look at December 20 and September 21 on the slide right now, the other income component was high in both the quarters because of the government grant that we got from the US government. So there was a conscious call that we took as a company that we'll not lay off anybody. And since we didn't lay off anybody, we made losses in the year 2020. And that is what was paid off by the government as a compensation. So it is within the plan, and that's where, you know, I tend to feel that it is more of a business income or a business compensation, so to speak. Because if I were to not make those and save those jobs, I would have not made those losses. And, you know, since the government has paid me only because of that, now it is all squaring up in the sequence in both the quarters. So that is where, you know, my sense is that it is still a business related stuff, and it is okay to have a part of that calculation. It's not a technical thing, but it is more of a business thing. And so I think the intent and the fair comparison will only have when we have these two things in place. I hope you're getting that.
Understood. Yeah. And I'll take it offline with you.
Sure.
My second question was regarding this, the practice areas we have. So are you seeing, what kind of growth are you seeing in different practice areas? And relatedly, you know, the acquisition that we have done, are you seeing more growth on the Salesforce side incrementally?
We are seeing good growth on Salesforce side. We are seeing good growth on ServiceNow also. But, at this point in time, we're not doing a practice-wise segregation and, you know, tracking that growth. But on the, anecdotal version is that, yes, we are seeing growth on these practices.
Okay. And then my last question is, what is the percentage of revenue from Fortune 500 companies and the percentage of revenue from the unicorns?
We don't do that, but yeah, I'll try to see if there is a significance or there is a data which is of significance. We'll start to share that.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, because what it highlights about our business is that for a small company that we are, we are really punching above our weight. And I think it's worth highlighting that point.
That's a good point. You're absolutely right. I think part of it is also because of our strategy. Being a small company, it is very difficult to get into a Fortune 500 company. In fact, it takes months, if not years, to get into one of those. But if you look at our strategy, our acquisitions and our internal strategy, if you look at philosophy, it allows us, because it is a design company, it allows us to get into a Fortune 500 company. If you look at our core competencies on cloud, on digital transformation, that also allows us to give a foot in the door. For example, technologies like Salesforce and ServiceNow, they have been big enablers for us to get into some of these companies. And again, you would probably not see this too much with companies our size in this space. And this has been a conscious effort, not only during COVID, but even before COVID. All of this actually happened before COVID. So all of those strategies are now paying some good dividends.
But yeah, I agree that...
Yeah,
we'll start to slice and dice in those formats and try to see if we can come up with more meaningful segregation here.
Yeah, no, I'm very impressed that you're adding Fortune 500 clients and that roster is increasing every quarter, or the revenue from that particular client base is increasing. So congrats again and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I just want to add, for the benefit of all investors, the strategy here is to, as I said earlier, to go into larger wallets. This market is not going to last forever, right? This real big, red hot IT services market. But what it will help us do is, if we are able to grab all of these larger clients, then when the market is not so hot, not today, but let's say 2, 3, 4 years down the line, 5 years down the line, we will be able to then mine these accounts, and it will be a much more sustainable and profitable venture going forward. So this has been a very conscious effort on our side.
Ashan, can we go to the next participant, please?
Thank you.
We are running out of time.
Yeah, participants, please limit your questions to two. Next question comes from the line of Priyank. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. So my question is on employee cost. So if we look at the employee cost on a standalone as well as consolidated basis, as a percentage of revenue, the employee cost has gone much lower compared to the previous quarter. So just wanted to understand how should I see that number? Is it the operating leverage kicking in, or is something other thing? And how sustainable that thing is?
So, I think let's not worry too much about the employee benefit cost in last 2 quarters and the future 2 quarters, because it is not benchmarkable. There are so many moving parts here. It is actually confusing us all the time. I don't want to, further increase that burden on you. There's too many moving parts going on, right? So, yes. So I think probably two more quarters and things should stabilize. That is when there would be a better way to do it. I keep seeing that employee cost is increasing. It is increasing dramatically. And a good component is also getting into contractor cost, which is, not into employee benefit expenses that you see on the sheet. So, it is not a valid comparison, to be very honest.
Okay. And on a standalone basis, I see there is a good increase in other expenses compared to previous quarter or the December 20 quarter. So what is driving that thing?
There is an increase or a decrease?
Increase.
And on standalone?
Yeah.
I think the other expenses typically will be increased because of the travel costs, because of the facility expenses, because of the travel started, right? So we have people traveling across the geographies. So that was one primary reason. There might be a few more smaller reasons. Let me just quickly check if I have the data handy. Krunal, are you there online? There are too many sheets here. Let me just check the expenses.
Can this you come back
for,
to this? And
this is for standalone, right? You said?
Yes, yes.
I think travel is a big component. The other component is a consultancy fee for returners acquisition. Then there's one for sales and business promotion is another expense, which is increased. Yeah, I think that's the... There's not much of an increase, I would say. It is probably 1 crore or so, not much. The recruitment charges are so much these days. That is also adding up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. Yeah. Yeah, and in the other income side, there is no one-time incomes.
We are done with that. We are done with other incomes or US government grants.
Okay, got it. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Priya. Next question comes from the line of Rajul. Rajul, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for taking my question. And I just wanted to know, you have plans to hire quite aggressively from the freshers and less experienced guys. What's the strategy you have in place to train them? Do you have an internal training capabilities or do you depend on an external provider which adds to your expenses?
Okay, so we do both. We have internal training programs that we conduct. We also hire external programs where we need expertise of a particular kind. And our team is busy in delivering projects. So, they can't afford that time. Otherwise, we will lose billable revenue. So, we do both.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's pretty much from my end.
Thank you, brother. Asha, please move on to the next one, please.
Thank you, Prajul. Next question comes from the line of Garvit. Garvit, please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Good evening, sir. My question is regarding the attorneys. I want to ask what amount we can expect it to add to our top line on an annual basis.
So we mentioned that, Garvit, last time. For fiscal 21-22, the target was 60 crores. For 22-23, the target is 80 crores. So that is the projection they have given to us, and we are going by that.
Right. 6 crore for single month. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Garvit. Next question comes from the line of Raghav. Raghav, please go ahead.
Hi. I have only one question. Do you have any strategy of growing into India's tier 2, tier 3 cities where employee costs will be less? But we have plenty of engineering colleges and talent pool, right? Because mostly they migrate into high cost centers, let's say Bangalore.
We're already in a tier 2 city, Indore.
Yeah, I know. So you have other tier 2 cities like Lucknow or I don't know where. You have a huge population, talented people, but eventually they have to move out from their house and actually work in Bangalore. Obviously, they get paid more, but I think there is some potential which probably IT companies can leverage to further reduce their employee costs, remain competitive. What are your thoughts on that?
We'll definitely explore it. I mean, we are always constantly looking out for good talent. In fact, we came out with an advertisement in Jaipur. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. We're constantly exploring it. At this point, we are not very interested in spending money in setting up a physical office. But if we're able to get talent, then we'll definitely take it from anywhere and everywhere. In fact, we're also looking at countries like Bangladesh and Philippines to get talent from there.
All right, thanks. That's all from my side. All the best.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gaurav. Next question comes from the line of Jai Kishan. Jai Kishan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, congratulations to our promoter. It's a really decent numbers the company is reporting. Yeah, the question is that I just wanted to understand your perspective in acquisition. Like, have you set up any parameter like we'll acquire like 50% of our size company, 50, 60 crore, or we are open to acquire a company which has like the size or the revenues more than us. So any those kind of what is your like what you think when you acquire on sizing perspective, revenue size?
Yeah, usually I think you're right. The comfort factor for us lies let's say from 20 to 30% kind of range of our size. So if we are, let's say, 50 million company, we probably would like to acquire a company which is $10 to $15 million. So that's the comfort.
Okay. And another question would like to ask, what kind of service you provide to InMobi? Because that company itself is a digital company, right? Kind of IT company. So what service you provide to them?
Yeah, so we provide product engineering services for them.
Okay. Okay. And last question.
Even a company like that will be needing help, in order to
build. We work with Facebook also.
A last question. Avinash sir, when you say 24% sustainable margin, that include other income, or it's a pure EBITDA margin?
See, it is more of a technical thing, but I would say it includes other income.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jai Kishan. Next question comes from the line of Asit Koti. Please go ahead. Asit, you need to unmute yourself.
Congratulations, sir. And my question is, if you could give us some insight onto the revenue breakup in terms of business segments. What all business segments you are servicing? Industry segment, that is one. And second is in terms of like AI, ML, blockchain, and digital transformation. So these are the major areas where you are operating, supposedly. In that area, how much do each areas are contributing to your revenue?
So I said there is a breakup slide on the presentation. We don't work in AI ML. We work in digital transformation and product engineering. So that segment is already there on the slide. 73% on digital transformation and 27% on product engineering.
Okay. But I suppose AI ML, something has been mentioned in the slide, which...
No, we don't know that.
One sec. If I'm not wrong. And rationale for such buying buyback in April 2021, not too many opportunities for acquisition were available.
No, I said you didn't like it.
No, it's not a question of liking it. It's something like liquid cash which you have, and there are no better opportunities available to acquire and grow business, then you go for buyback.
So I said again, this is a technical thing. We did a buyback. And then we acquired a company. Okay, so 10 crores was the money that we parked for buyback because we had a good profit last year. We wanted to reward our shareholders. And after that, we did a buyback. We did an acquisition in November. And we did, I think, sign the term sheet somewhere around July, August time frame. So there is no such thing. And again, the quantum of 10 crores was too little to make a conclusion that there is not a good opportunity out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. Avinash, I would like to add one more thing. We paid the dividend as well.
We paid the dividend after that, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
So that is nowhere interlinked.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Asif. Yeah. Next question comes from the line of Richa Agarwal. Richa, please go ahead.
Asha, we'll have to call it off. We are 5 minutes over our budgeted time. I'll take last question and we
Thank you very much for the opportunity. My question is regarding this breakup of digital transformation in product engineering. So, you know, as an analyst, I want to understand what implication this mix has. For example, had it been 50-50 or 30-40, what would be an ideal mix? What kind of implication it could have on the overall margins?
Honestly, no idea, Richard.
Okay. All right. So basically, wherever the industry is growing, we are trying to capture the opportunities, and that's the strategy. Is that the right way to understand?
Right? It is natural, right? If there is a lot of Salesforce work coming in, we will continue to do that, right? If there are a lot of customers demanding the services that we offer, we'll build on top of it. So
okay.
At this point in time, everything is selling,
right? Right. And so contribution of top five clients in this quarter, if you could share that number. And maybe going forward, you know, if we could have some kind of, you know, continuous representation of what kind of client concentration is there.
Yeah, so top 10 customers gives us more than 70% of the revenue.
Okay.
But top five, I would say in the range of 45% or so. This is
all right.
Top of my mind.
Okay, thank you so much. All the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Richa. This was the last question for today. I'll hand it back to management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much. The questions have been, pretty good, and we'll try to, take your feedback and, upgrade the presentation and kind of information that you're seeking. We keep a note of those things, and we'll try to improve every time. Thank you for staying invested. I was happy to note that the first investment that one individual made was in InfoBeans. I'm happy that he was here. We were able to talk to them. Feel free to reach out to us through investor relationship portal on the website. There is an email that you must have got. You can respond to email address mentioned in that email itself. Feel free to be in touch and look forward for your continued support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone. Please take care and stay safe. This ends the call. Thanks.
Bye.